Hello, everybody again. How's it going? This here is your host, Spencer Ash Jones of the podcast Off the Tape. Joining for this episode, as always, is our co-host, Stefan, and our editor, Tibet. How's it going, lads?
Yo, you almost forgot my name. I don't like that.
It's because you left us for 2-3 episodes, bro. Of course we nearly forgot you.
He was a health bomb.
All those years. Yeah.
Yeah, he was under COVID protocols. Just kidding, he wasn't.
RIP.
Well, so this is episode 36. You guys got a couple of 36 numbers for us, and our viewers to tell.
Yeah, I'll go first because I don't know much about this guy, but Matthew Barnaby. All I know is he has 300 points in 2,562 penalty minutes, and that's it.
Tibet, do you think that's a lot of penalty minutes in the NHL?
I would like to assume so, as that's a lot of minutes in anything.
Well, excellent. Yeah, you're right. That is a lot of minutes in the penalty box. You know, he got literally put into the penalty box for yelling at other players about their sisters.
That's pretty funny.
That's how he tried to get under everybody's skin. I remember him like in an interview saying how he would literally ask guys to research, because there was less social media back then. So he'd literally ask guys and get to know them. And then if he ever switched teams or if he ever knew another guy, he would try to get info on one or two guys he wanted to piss off.
Damn. That's pretty funny, though.
And then he'd just be an aggressor and kind of like a little rat on the ice.
Love it. So
that's good. My number 36, Spencer. So my number 36 played for the Hartford Whalers. He wore number 36 in the 1991 and 1992 seasons. So we're having a little bit of a throwback. However, this ex-player, but current GM in the NHL, is part of Spencer's favorite club. Spencer, do you mind telling me who this man is, which club he's a part of?
The Biceps Club, baby.
Yeah, Mark Bergevin for the Hartford Whalers back in the day were number 36. So this is kind of, I kind of went away from Ottawa because I didn't want to give any Ottawa players a shout out this year. And I saw Mark Bergevin. He actually switched to 25 after, but he wore number 36 for a little while there with the Hartford Whalers. And I was like, you know what? I think we deserve to bring him up because, you know, he has some big decisions coming up for the Montreal Canadiens who are fighting for a playoff spot in the North Division. So I thought I'd give Mark Bergevin a nice shout out.
That is a good pick there. For sure.
Way up. Sorry to our Quebec viewers. Who's your number 36, Spencer?
My 36. My 36, the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania native goaltender and starting goaltender of the Anaheim Ducks, number 36 from the perfect birth year in 1993, the 39th overall pick of the 2011 draft, the World Junior gold medalist, John Gibson, baby.
Now, you know what? Imagine he was picked number 36 as well. Wouldn't have that been awesome? Where's 36? Pick 36th overall. That would be something.
When he first joined the team, I just had his name. Matt Bolesky, I think he was wearing number 39 with Anaheim. So I almost caught, maybe it's like he flipped 93 backwards and then flipped the 9. I mean, maybe that's too much thinking. It's a very unnatural goalie number, that's for certain, though.
I mean, it's an unnatural number in the NHL in general. So, you know, I mean, yeah. But do you know what is natural is us you know, continuing and making it a trilogy on talking about the Buffalo Sabres and the news that they keep producing in the NHL.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's great content that it's been for us here, but it's, the hammer finally came crashing down.
No, you know what? I know that you are a huge lover of horror movies, and I just have to say, Ralph, or should we say Freddy Krueger, got slashed out of the Buffalo Sabres lineup officially, or lineup, coaching staff officially, and he's no longer coming back. So you could say that Buffalo's kind of looking like Elm Street right now. It's not looking really good. It's kind of a horror story in Buffalo.
I like that one.
It's quite,
I tried my best.
It's quite the nightmare that's been going on there.
There it is. Yeah, there you go. It's part 3, I guess, of our trilogy about talking about them. I don't know what you call a... It's not a... a quadrilogy, or maybe it is. We might continue talking about them next week. But yeah, Ralph Krueger fired from the Buffalo Sabres.
We are what Jack Eichel is. Straight to DVD franchise.
But yeah, just continues for them. And then, you know, it's so funny because we just predicted that it was going to happen in the coming weeks. It's like they're going to axe him. He's going to be gone. They're going to blame it on the coach. And then all the players come out and say how it wasn't the coach's fault. And it's just a dumpster fire. And obviously the day, not even 24 hours, you could say 2 hours after Ralph Krueger's firing, I think we had the first, is Taylor Hall going to waive his no trade clause article on the web. So it's just a shit show in Buffalo.
Well, you know, you could definitely say from anyone's viewpoint, it's a long time coming. Or not a long time coming, but just, like, you see how bad Buffalo is. You know, they're in the midst of a 12-game losing streak right now. Yep. The NHL... 13. Yes, sorry, 13. Yeah, that's why he's the editor, baby. But...
I got you this time.
But the...
this is a rare occurrence on Off the Tape.
What were we saying? Buffalo.
13 in a row.
Yeah, 13 in a row, yeah. So for the NHL record's 18.
Ooh,
so Sabres are 5 games away from tying that mark. But nice. Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. Don Granato is a new interim head coach. He's never had this position before. It's not like he's a youngin' by any means. So I think he honestly just has the role for the rest of the... Well, obviously, yeah, rest of the regular season there. And, well, Kevin Adams will actually get to pick his head coach this time around. So, interesting to see. But the thing that is interesting, just quick remark about that, is also, I think the Pegulas, the owners of everything Buffalo and elsewhere outside of, yeah, that. But how I think they're a little bit on the fence of firing Krueger because he still has another year left on his contract. And they're paying him around $4 million. And only because of that, but also because they're still their GM and two assistant GMs they fired, they're both still under contract for I think next year as well. So,
yikes. Well, I mean, what was it? Ralph Krueger hasn't actually ever coached
a full season in the NHL.
A full season in the NHL.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lasted the lockout shortened with Edmonton. Gets fired over Skype. Oh, that's a good one for you, Tibet.
That's pretty funny.
And it was before COVID too, so it was before all the digital technology. That was even worse back then.
Yeah, they're using so something called Skype. But yeah, you know, for that, and then again last year because of COVID, and only this year for COVID, and you know, some people are talking about, it's like, man, I think he, well, what, 48, I think it was 26 games he just got through with Buffalo. And then I forget, last year, I think it was maybe 68 games last year. So, you know, it's 116, 142 right there. But it's just so insane. He's like, you know, about 150 games coached and he's been fired twice.
Yeesh. Not fun.
No. So it'll be very interesting to see. Well, I mean, you know, trade line's coming up. So you know that all their UFAs, your Taylor Hall, your Eric Staal, like those two are definitely likely to be moved on. They've still been trying to trade Brandon Montour ever since last season, even. You know, it's just... Oh, there's actually... I guess it hasn't dropped yet, but there's a lot of speculation and rumors that they're trading their third-string goalie, Jonas Johansson. So maybe they'll get the tires going, or kicking the tires, getting going because of this fire, whatever you call it.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Tire fire.
Yeah. It doesn't matter at this point. They're every possible synonym you can think of that to shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're worse than Ottawa. They have no, they're not even trending in a direction, you know? They're just in limbo.
Ottawa, yeah. Buffalo's just going south.
Well, no, Ottawa's not in limbo, but, you know, kind of, but not really. But still, you know, it's just kind of so weird. Like, you just think, it's so weird because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? Like, oh, they could just reset. But they reset 8 years ago. They reset 3 years ago, 4 years ago, supposedly again. They brought in Taylor Hall and they overpaid Jeff Skinner. And they were like, well, we have a top line now. Maybe we can actually score goals and win games. And what are they going to do? Reset again?
Yeah, well, that's what it's possibly leaning towards. New coach, new direction, and yeah, see what comes of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and speaking of old Buffalo times, unfortunately last year we didn't get to see a Frozen Four due to COVID, but it was set to take host in Buffalo. So we'll make that segue of Buffalo to some college hockey news. And ooh-wee, baby. As we saw there at the beginning of the week on Tuesday, our hometown development university, our lovely Fighting Hawks, took it to St. Cloud State, defeating them 5-3. And ever since the division was formed in the past decade there, Dakota became the first team to finish first in the division and be the champions of their conference there. Or, like, in their conference, finish first and actually win it all.
I mean, hey, if they keep nailing those firsts, they could be the first to win it all. Let's hope.
Yeah. And then, as well, coming along that night, we saw Minnesota defeat Wisconsin there 6-4. And let me tell you, for this game as well, Minnesota was up 5-1 at one point in the third period. And then Wisconsin battled their way back to make it 5-4 with about 2.5 minutes left before finally Minnesota scored on an empty netter to close out the game and the championship there. And just, you got a feel for a little bit of a comeback there. But, you know, they're still light. Like, Wisconsin's still going to make it to Frozen Four, you know, college hockey tournament there. But maybe this will set a little fire under their asses and get them to wake up about, all right, you know, we were ranked number one before this tournament started, or before all the champions started, and can finish off here.
I mean, what's with all these 5-1 comebacks and all these teams messing up? I mean, you saw, obviously, there the comeback from 5-1 down, but...
There's a recent game in Europe it happened, too.
And the Ottawa Senators against the Toronto Maple Leafs, because the Maple Leafs suck. So it's just like all these amazing comebacks, you know, happening against these teams. It's just kind of cool to see.
Yeah. Well, for a big game this past week, if you didn't check out the game between UMass Lowell and Boston College... Oh, baby, what a Wednesday night that was. So, Steph, to catch you up to speed, BC, you know, highly ranked team. They're led by Matt Boldy and Alex Newhook. Boldy drafted by Minnesota, Newhook via Colorado there. And Boston's top tier, you know, first in their conference there. I believe at the time they were ranked. Actually, no, I think it was BC was actually ranked first in the nation. Oh, and also led by their goaltender, Spencer Knight, too. So, nice. BC is up 4-1 at the end of the second period, 20 minutes away. And this is a semifinal or quarterfinal? It's quarterfinal, semifinal game that night, too. So, BC's up 4-1 after two periods. And Lowell comes back, ties the game up at 5-5 in the third before UMass Lowell won it in overtime.
Jeez, that's crazy, all these comebacks.
Well, this was an upset at that, too. A 7 over a number 2 seed for the one-game single elimination series that they're having this year. But even for BC, Matt Boldy had 4 assists. Newhook had 2 goals and 2 assists. And you have Spencer Knighthead. It's like, you know, everyone's doing their job through two periods here. But and that was actually, sorry, even to continue correcting myself, it was 4-1 with less than 10 minutes left in the period of the game. And it ended 5-5.
Toronto Maple Leaf collapse there.
Yeah.
Man, we really... A lot of examples of the Maple Leafs collapsing on this podcast, and it's just not a coincidence.
Well, we just like to talk about history, you know?
Yeah. It repeats itself.
Always and forever. So, with that, you know, obviously you see North Dakota, they're into the tournament. Minnesota's advanced into the tournament. Most likely Wisconsin will get in. But as we, you know, Boston College, I think they'll likely be voted in on their selection Sunday, which by the time this episode airs, we'll have already known and figured out. But, you know, as we await, you know, you got Mass Lowell. They made it all the way to the finals there, playing up against Massachusetts. Then we have St. Lawrence, who's playing at Quinnipiac. And then the other ones, we just have to wait and see what their semifinal action results are tonight and before they have a winner decided. And then going to Sunday there. But, you know, like I said, it was actually, like we just found out earlier, where Sanderson, Ottawa's prospect there. It sounded like he's going to be returning for his sophomore year at University of North Dakota. So
yeah, honestly, I think that's great. I mean, look, I I think even Dorian had said when they drafted him that they didn't expect him to just make a jump right away, that it was kind of more a long-term deal, and even Sanderson had reiterated that, so zero surprise. I mean, if Sens fans are disappointed, then they don't get hockey if they're disappointed, and they just don't understand why.
Well, I think it's also because, like, Ottawa's never really rushed any college players that they've had, if you think of it, you know? Look at Jacob Bernard Docker. Like, he's just wrapping up his third year now there, and you know, some players do come out 1 year, maybe even two. Actually, I shouldn't say that because we didn't even let Brady Tkachuk continue yet.
Yeah, wow. Well,
one example. Exception. Because he went to the wrong school.
That's an exception, though, yeah.
Maybe there's, like, Sens sponsorship at, like, UND's arena, and you just can't see it live on air, but it's like, yep, that's maybe how the team's getting money, too, from University of North Dakota.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if it helps us, whatever.
Or maybe that's good. What Melnick's been doing, pumping, you know, loads of cash into their account, into their branches and everything.
Yeah, oh, could be.
But, you know, and we'll stay on track, perhaps, here, or we will, in USA, where, you know, we haven't talked a whole lot about their major junior hockey league, their tier one hockey league.
Bruh. Can you explain to me why your dog is okay? First off, he's not humping the correct thing. The dog. He should be humping the Maple Leaf pillow.
I mean, it's not my fault he wants to show off his toy.
please continue.
Top tier junior league in America, there, the USHL, where this team's just been. So this year, there's only 14 teams in the league. Recently, in their highest numbers, was only around 16 teams. It was just, unfortunately, one team this year had to opt out because of COVID, and another one was struck by a massive storm that completely destroyed their home arena, so they didn't have anywhere to play. So they're only at 14 teams for this season, but the team that's been most dominant over the last few years has been the Chicago Steel, where they're kind of a resemblance to the London Knights and producing players to higher levels. So, you know, they definitely have a good management that's there. They're on top of everything that's going on. But yeah, so they've been on top there, and they're actually being led, and the league's being led in scoring by one of their players in Sean Farrell, who was just recently a fourth round draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens.
Ooh.
So he's leading the league in scoring right now with 74 points in 40 games.
Nice.
And, of course, it's Montreal because the dude's only 5'9 and 174 pounds.
Christ. God damn, they love their midgets.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's good to see for that. You know, it's looking, again, you know, Chicago's flat out dominating out there in their league. But one of the interesting stories earlier that dropped this past year was how in the WHL, obviously they didn't have a season begin until early February there, but one of their rising known faces in that league, who was given, one of their rising players there, or rising prospects that was going to be the face of the league was Matthew Savoy, if not Matthew Savoy. I'm saying Matthew Savoy because he's out west.
You know, I have vivid memories of that name because I remember eating a spicy ass chicken wing right after it, back in October.
Well, yeah, that was a different one. Yeah, no, yeah. So, I don't know. It's from St. Albert, Alberta. So this phenom here, he elected to spend the season down with, Dubuque Fighting Saints. And so he's been, here's a 17-year-old kid, you know, first full season junior hockey. And he's been lighting up the league. He's currently got 19 points. That's 10 goals. In 17 games played, and this team was fluttering. The Fighting Saints were fluttering towards the bottom of the league standings, but once he came and joined them, they just popped right back up there, and they're making quite the change, a turnaround on their season, and mainly because of this 17-year-old kid, the high-end draft pick coming up for the 2022 NHL draft.
Well, that's a loaded top five there in that draft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't get me started because this will be another hour long. Like we said, just keeping the focus on 22. Just skip 21. We want to go over blackjack for once here. Go hit me again. Yeah. Hit me again. Give me that 22, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and then, so one of the other teams actually in that league there, the Muskegon Lumberjacks, they actually got their hands on a pretty big prize of same draft, 2022, baby! Ivan Miroshnichenko, where that 17-year-old phenom, Russian, was willing to come over and play over here in the top junior league over in Russia, but unfortunately due to COVID, he wasn't granted to stay and continue playing games. So he went back to Russia, where he's playing the MHL, basically Russia's top junior league, where, towards the end, he finished off with 15 points in 20 games. So not too bad for a 17-year-old playing in the top Russian league, offensively scoring-wise there. But,
same
age, junior hockey, same age there.
Oh, it is. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, I mixed that up. My bad.
Yeah, so, it's just always interesting seeing what's going on and what's happening around the other junior leagues. Recently, the provinces up here, Alberta and BC, have continued on their seasons or began their seasons. So, best of luck to those teams in those leagues there, and at least getting a good couple of months, few months out of this unfortunate past year with COVID going on. Other than that, pretty much all the other provinces up here, some exhibition games are going on, but nothing quite set in stone for going forward. Obviously, WHL started just over 6 weeks ago, and here we are up in Ontario, where unfortunately the Ontario Hockey League is little slow on their front as well.
Yeah, the OHL, that's quite unfortunate, the slowness there. But, I mean, hey, it's coming.
Hopefully, wait and see and everything for it, especially with all that's going on in this region. But, other than that, it's been a pretty interesting, or it's been a fairly quiet week, I'd say. Obviously, Buffalo wanting to steal all the headlines out there. Even their own studio there, even played and doing their own power season teams, power rankings, and they play Seattle even above them, which is, can't get any better than that from their own hometown newspaper.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think. Oh, you know what? I guess the other night, what was quite impressive was a former Ottawa Senator there, Mika Zibanejad, tying the NHL record for most points in a period.
Yeah, 3 goals, 3 assists, and a 9-0 romping by the New York Rangers over the Philadelphia Flyers there.
Man, I know we talked about the Flyers a couple weeks ago just being slow, but God, it's just continued. Like, it's just the slide that we talked about that we saw with them.
Their inconsistency,
Yeah, just no improvement.
Well, and then very next night, we saw them playing against the New York Islanders. 0-0 through the first period. You get hammered 9-0, you better have a goal within the first 5 minutes. That's just a telling sign something's not right there. If you get hammered 9-0, it was already 9-0 before the second intermission began, and you're telling me you still couldn't score in the first 5 minutes of your follow-up game the very next day? I don't care if it's the next day. You're practically driving, just going from Madison Square Garden to Nassau Coliseum there. The hell's going on there, Flyers? And then, of course, playing against the Islanders, they're up 3-0, end of the second period, only to allow the Islanders to tie it up before being forced to finally, with their hands tied behind their back, scoring regulation to take the victory out of the Islanders. But even still, it's like, that's not exactly, like, on paper, this team has a sick top nine set of forwards there. And their fourth line, not, like, the most feared offensively, but for being absolute, like, dogs and just working their tails off, it's not too bad. It's just maybe kind of wish you saw a little skill by one more player on that line. But for this team, it's like they got sick defense core depth. They got an amazing top six. Unfortunately, both goalies are here and there. Carter Hart's a little bit more wherever else.
Yeah.
But hopefully get something changed. We're 3 weeks out from the trade deadline now, so you never know, it could come along and what could happen.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those weird things where, I mean, just to go back to Zibanejad, I just remember I had checked. No, it's all good. No, I was going to say, it was just so weird because I checked the score and it was like 3-0. Obviously, it was 3-0 at one point. It only got worse after that. But I just remember checking, 3-0. No, okay. And then I saw like 5-0. I'm like, holy moly, like these y'all just started the second period. Like, relax. Like, this is on pace for, like, I think they were on pace at one point for like 13-0. And then end of the, all I see is Mika Zibanejad, shorthanded goal. Mika Zibanejad, power play goal. Not even that. Zibanejad had a natural hat trick within the 9. And it was an even strength, a shorthanded, and a power play goal. So it was kind of one of each. It was kind of cool that he got one of each type of goal to add to that.
A couple more behind Mario Lemieux there for having the record of, well, so Mario Lemieux, he had 5 goals, 1 game in 5 different scenarios. Even strength, power play, shorthanded, penalty shot, and empty net.
I was going to say, he was just missing the empty netter in real-time play, but you're
It's just like, unfortunately, when it's 9-0, your best chance is a delayed penalty and you touch the puck last.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. What a highlight reel that'd be in years to come. And here's how he got his 5th. Oh, they put the puck on their own net!
Yeah, no, that's for sure. No, but it was just kind of an impressive little thing. You don't see that every day, especially in today's NHL. It's high scoring. Normally, both teams are scoring lots of goals. I mean, this year, we've just seen so many wacky results, and we can definitely put that on COVID for sure. And I think, and speaking of COVID, how about those Bruins?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, the Sabres there again can't get out of any mishap that's going on when they found out one Buffalo Sabres trainer or equipment manager was tested positive for COVID. So, you know, he was removed from the team, and the Boston Bruins found themselves with a player tested positive as well and removed him from the team, but the game still went on. And, within 24 hours later, the Bruins are now up to 5 players on their COVID protocol list. And Buffalo is, again, pissed off about being forced to play against a team that, had all positive cases, or at least 8 positive cases come through.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, look. Buffalo is screwed no matter what, but I guess to add more layers to the story so we could talk about how much more shit they are next week, they have to add something. And then Boston, there's some top players there with the virus. So you kind of think, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think that it's kind of winded down. We've had like a calm period where a team didn't have an outbreak this massive in a little while, with some top caliber players getting it, right? And you think about some players and how they've talked about if they've had symptoms or if it's hit them hard, the lingering effects. Pastrnak is an important player, you know, so is DeBrusque and some of the guys that have been announced that have it. So you kind of got to think Boston chasing that playoff spot, it could affect them more than they think.
Oh, yeah, especially when they tend to rely a little too much on just that one line doing all the scoring, which, fortunately, they've been a little too consistent of doing over the years.
Yep. It's going to be a rough one, I think. I think this is going to be a bit of a rougher one for Boston. Looking at where they are in the standings right now, I mean, they're a couple points up on Philly. It's a 3-point difference with Philadelphia, even games. You know, like we said, Philly having that rough start, but if they go on a hot streak, I mean, Philly is 2 games in hand on Pittsburgh, so they could easily tie Pittsburgh with a hot streak and they could just slide in there into third place. You know, like you said, there's always like Colorado started a little rough. We were talking about it last week, but it's always good to kind of start really getting things going towards the end. Maybe Philadelphia's in the same boat, you know? Maybe they're going to really start clicking soon and, you know, it just took to the halfway point to really turn things around, because technically this is the halfway point of the season. We saw the Blues turn it around at a halfway point in the season, so never know.
Yeah, you know, and with all that talk, with all that negative talk with COVID in Buffalo, here's a little positive talk about what's going up here in Canada, where we continue to see the glorious, glorious, amazing Connor McDavid doing what he does best, where it seems like this is NHL 12 on Be a Pro, where you're gaining over 200 points in a season, as are your line mates, and maybe the next highest score in the league is maybe like 70 points. So here's a little fun fact for you that I've been holding on all day long, so I could save it for this. What a moment. It's better than your NBA cuts there. McDavid obviously is running away at the league scoring right now, where he's got 54 points, I think, at this moment now.
Yeah.
So not only that, is he leading the league, he's obviously leading the league in assists too.
58.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's 58, you know.
He's got a tack on 5 points there.
So just last night, he actually just scored his 20th goal of the season. which is puts him one behind Austin Matthews. So got me thinking a little bit. All right, you know, it's kind of interesting because McDavid going for goals. It's what I came across was how in the last 20 years, only two players have led the league in goals and points in a season.
Ooh, wait, and who? Wait, how many years in the last how many years?
Twice in the last 20 years.
Ooh, all right. All right, Tibet, don't Google it.
I don't think you know how.
I hear you typing. I got to guess this. Okay, was one Ovechkin?
Yep.
That one, when he had the 62 goals, I assume,
65,
right?
Yeah.
65,
He had 65 goals and 112 points in 07-08. And that was the most recent season it happened.
Ooh, the most recent. So in the last 20 years, since 2001, you're telling me that there was a guy in the early 2000s that did this. Oof. Wow. Who did it in the early 2000s? Just off the top of my head.
Come on, somebody led the league in goals and points.
Bruh.
Yeah. As I hear this keyboard going away from someone else here. I know, this
keyboard's going wild.
All
right. Oh, no, okay. No. I don't know. I don't... I was going to guess Iginla, maybe?
Yep.
Yikes. where's Seal?
In the 01-02 season there, when Iginla scored 52 goals... and I think it was 96, 97 points that he had total to lead the league in goals and points that year.
It always really does impress me when it's half-half the most, you know?
Half-half?
speaking of Seals joining, this is quite funny.
Speak of the devil much?
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of dudes joining. Matt, we're talking about Jerome Iginla leading the league in scoring points and goals in the year 2001. Jesus Christ.
Jesus. That's the first thing he says.
I wish we recorded it.
Oh, well, okay. So not only that, but an additional fact, too, is McDavid there. So that was her goals and points. Only 10 times in NHL history has a player led the league in goals and assists, and obviously then points. Those 10 times ever in NHL history, we saw 6 times by Wayne Gretzky, twice each by Gordie Howe and Mario Lemieux, and once by Phil Esposito.
Wow.
And right now, McDavid's on set for that. Well, not... on set, but he's one goal behind Austin Matthews, where he can very much so surpass or join that elite mark there too.
And speaking of high goal scoring, can we just give a shout out to the fact that Tyler Toffoli has 18 goals?
Yep. He'll be lucky if he can hit 20 next year, I bet.
I know. Well, I was gonna say, it's just crazy because like in the top 10 you have Matthews, McDavid, Toffoli, Dreisaitl, Connor, Besser, and Ehlers. Dude, 7 are in the North Division. And most of them have come against the Ottawa Senators, those goals. So do they even count? Are those false goals mentally for us as fans?
No.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. But still, when you think about it, it's
it makes it
like,
better for their next contract.
Oh, you know what? That's Melnick's master plan. Overpay them in the North Division and in Montreal and Toronto. I mean,
and every other Canadian team. So Ottawa will be the most the highest one to be sold. This is Dorian Chess here.
Yeah, Pierre Dorian doing his work there. But still, I believe we're gonna win. Don't worry, we're gonna win the cup in 2025.
Well, and so we'll go with one last little message here as well. Or congratulations here to the Mighty Ducks that are of Anaheim, where not only are they celebrating their TV show coming out, the trailer that just dropped, where they showed the old team and what their appearance and looks are now these days, and the new squad for the Mighty Ducks series that's coming out on Disney. This is not an ad read. But, you know, the young Ducks that they have flapping their wings and coming on up,
Jesus.
Where we saw... Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale both score their first career NHL goals when they came back down 2-0 to the Arizona Coyotes and came back to win in, I think it was in the shootout. Or no, it was in overtime there. Beyond regulation.
Yeah,
so again, Jamie Drysdale, goal and assist in his first career game. Trevor Zegras getting his first career goal there. He's getting a few assists as well. And when I say the Baby Ducks here, right now it looks ugly, but they're going to blossom soon. Likes of your Troy Terry, your Max Jones, your Sam Steele, your Maxime Comtois, all these guys being 23 and younger, fuck, they're looking hella sexy in a couple of years.
Man, I remember a couple of years ago, I think Zegras, he was 2019 in the first round, right? He went top 10. I don't remember where, but it was like 7th, 8th, or 9th.
6th.
I believe. 6th?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. That's fine. Wherever he went, man, I remember when we talked about
sorry,
it, like,
9th.
That's an absolute... Ninth, I like that we went from 6 to 9.
Oh, it's actually his birthday tomorrow. That's funny. Turns 20.
Hey, shout out to Trevor Zegras. But, you know, it's still one of those things where I just remember when they drafted and I'm like, man, they just keep adding these young players that are just so talented and they're going to be so good again in a couple years. It kind of reminds you of that team that built up all those young guys and then for 6, 7, 8 years went to the playoffs, right, with Perry and Getzlaff and all those guys. So it's
Scary. Just having the names of your Troy Terry, Isaac Lundstrom, Trevor Zegras, Max Jones, Sam Steele, Max Comtois, like there's at least six guys right there.
Studs.
Where that's six of your top 9 forwards right there for years to come. Like that's just, you know, you can put them all here and there wherever they are and everything, but like that's such a good looking core of forwards. And of course, you know, Jamie Drysdale, who's already putting his mark now here, and he's looking great as well. It's and again, they have John Gibson in net. It's the thing I honestly feel John Gibson is such a great goalie. He's phenomenal. He's really, it sucks, like, you know, living out here on the East Coast, but when you watch it, like, John Gibson, he brings another status to his game out there. And it's unfortunate that he's been so injury prone in the past where he's missed a lot of time.
I know.
But I just feel it kind of sucks the fact too that he's already 27 years old right now.
He's 3 years off, I would say. If he was 3-4 years younger, it'd be amazing. It's just one of those things where you kind of go with a player. It's like, God damn, like you just came into the team in a transitional period. You're still so good, even though he's under contract with them still for a while. But it's just like, if you were a little younger, a little healthier, man, sometimes it just matters for a goalie not to get overworked with a poor defensive core in front of him for injuries too, you know? It's just all these things kind of can accumulate for a guy.
Oh, it just sucks that he wasn't even born a few years later, you know?
Yeah.
There's something you just said right there. Maybe think of something else, but I forget now.
I don't know if I can repeat it. I have Alzheimer's.
So, you know, it's just great times. Looking forward again with all the young guns and the new faces of the league coming on in. I think I'll pretty much wrap it up for this episode here. There's nothing else going on, not to my mind, but
I would like to say something.
What?
And the day that this podcast comes out is going to be a very special day for our host.
Oh yes.
So I would like to say happy motherfucking birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Spencer. In advance, but not in advance,
yes, sir.
Because on the day of, it's your birthday.
Shut up, you're supposed to play the illusion.
What do you mean, the illusion? No.
This comes out Monday. We could say it was today.
Our listeners know. We've already made too many mistakes in the past that they know that we record on a random day before.
True. You're right.
But yes, happy birthday, Spencer. Yes.
Oh, well, thank you, guys.
You're getting old.
Now the world knows what my birthday is.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Next thing
I'm
going to
be a Yuzo here now.
Sin.
You're going to be a Yuzo. I love it.
Okay, we'll give out Yuzo's sin number on the next episode, everybody, so stick around.
Yes, we will. We'll tell the players the player's salary is what it is, so you have to figure out which player it is. Or maybe not. So that will wrap it up for this episode here. Thank you all for joining on in and listening to episode 36 of Off the Tape Podcast. We got, by the time this episode drops, as I mentioned earlier, we have Selection Sunday for the college hockey Frozen Four that's set to begin, which, again, it'll be amazing, great fun time, especially with all the rumors of potential stars coming out of college hockey to join their NHL teams this around this time of year. But other than that, again, thank you all for joining in, and we'll catch you on the next shift.